Hey, this is Cycle Breaker Juliana, bringing you conversations and thoughts on how to break cycles and patterns and false beliefs and false programming that are holding you back in your life. To instill belief that you are powerful and that you are capable, you can heal and stand in your own power, advocate for yourself, for truth, and for others. Welcome. What's in a name? Within the industry that we call healthcare, when you dig below the surface, you're going to find it's not what the name might imply. So let's start with healthcare. We have been told that healthcare is the folks in the white coats, the urgent cares in the hospitals. But the reality is that's reactive care. That's triage. That's urgent care. That is not health related. In fact, it's the exact opposite of health. We had a local hospital, had a wound care clinic, and they were closing it. And the hospital director said a true statement. They were closing it because they didn't have enough patients in beds. See, they require sickness in order to stay afloat. They require people to have illness in order to keep paying the bills. So healthcare is really disease management. See, people go to a doctor and they're told, oh, you have high cholesterol. And high cholesterol used to be 210, then it was 200, then it was 190, and now I'm hearing it's 180, and boy, at 180, you're starting to not produce hormones because you need cholesterol to produce hormones and to feed your brain and to produce cells. So absent of enough cholesterol, you create more disease, which is by definition an annuity, right? So what they're doing is that they are creating a continuous paycheck for themselves. They want you back often, right? So you do an annual checkup. And in that annual checkup, they go, oh, well, we've identified an issue. We're going to send you in for some testing. And then you get a diagnosis. I actually experienced this with a family member. Receive a diagnosis. And then that diagnosis has to be reviewed by a team of experts. And that team of experts is going to do some great things for me. They're going to review my diagnosis, they're going to review my tests, and they're going to tell me what to do. And what they told them to do was, well, we're going to wait a year and see what happens. Now, in his mind, he thinks that's probably the best advice. I'm just going to wait a year. I'm going to cross my fingers and my toes. I'm going to hope things don't get worse. In my mind, I'm thinking they're going to wait a year until your condition is bad enough that they can actually recommend treatment. And sure enough, a year came around and things had progressed. And now they were recommended a very expensive treatment. And they did the treatment. I was back at the point of that diagnosis saying, okay, so there's things we can do to reverse this. There are things you can do to make the change. Why are you waiting a year and doing nothing? Why don't you take action to prevent and bring your health back? But that wasn't the chosen, because we have given our control over to experts. And if you could see me in person, you'd see me put out air quotes, experts, right? The problem is, one of the problems is, these experts, no different than me, don't know everything. I don't know everything. I don't even profess to know everything. If I don't know something, I'm going to send you to someone who does. Or I'm going to point you in a different direction. Or I'm going to encourage you to do some research. Because I don't have an ego related to my care of my clients. If I can't give you what you need, I will give you what I can give you and encourage you to either seek out and find someone else, or I might recommend a few people. And you decide who you want to work with and how you want to run your life. Because the goal in all cases is you should be in charge of it. You should be educating yourself and making decisions, and you should consider all options and many opinions. But you should never rely on one opinion. Not even mine. I don't want you to rely on my opinion. I want you to take my knowledge base and my opinion, and I want you to get knowledge and an opinion from someone else and maybe two or three other places. And I want you to put together what makes the most sense for you, what resonates with you. That's key and important. And you will get that from a few people in the white coats, but most of them will look at you funny if you choose an alternate path. Our son had surgery not too long ago. Would not have been my first option, but I knew that it was necessary, and I'm very thankful that the medical industry is great at this kind of care. This urgent, physical, put it back together kind of care. They're pretty good at this stuff. Terrible at chronic illness. They're really good at this stuff. And so I was very thankful the surgeon could do that. And then we brought my son home, our son home, and I recovered him. And I threw away the whole prescription tablet and went to work, determining what was best for him. When I stood talking to the surgeon and I said, I've already consulted with my friend who's a chiropractor and another one who's a physical therapist and another who does cranial sacral and a fourth who does chiropractic. He said, chiropractors. And I thought to myself, that's interesting because chiropractors actually take money out of your pocket because a 20-year study of people who get regular chiropractic care said it prevented up to 70% of back surgeries. But I still have people that scoff at the thought that someone should go to a chiropractor. Even though chiropractors have many, many hours of training and experience. And in fact, if you looked at the training, chiropractors have more pathology training and more neuromuscular training than a doctor or a surgeon because the doctors veer off into pharmaceutical training. Protocols. One size fits all. But if you've got 10 people standing in front of you and you apply a one size fits all program to them, you're going to miss the mark 9.5 times. You can look at the statistics. How many people are hurt or injured or killed by medical intervention? They actually have a name for it. It's iatrogenic, which means that people died because of a medical intervention, not because of the illness that they came in for, but because of the medical intervention. It's insanity. It's like 750,000 people a year die by the system that we put so much faith in. And I will repeat it again. Both my boys have had surgery. Both of them needed the surgery. I was very thankful for that. But if I found out that I had blood sugar challenges, I'm sure the heck not going to go to a physician because I know that my body can heal that. And I'm in charge of my health. And I get to do my own self-care. And I've surrounded myself with people who can provide me with information and data and statistics and knowledge. And together, by knowing my body and by evaluating it through things like muscle testing and bioenergetic testing and through my quantum frequency healing machine, I can determine what the right course of action is for me. And I want that for all of you. I want that more than anything else. I want that more than a patient or client list that is 100 miles long. I don't want a client list that's 100 miles long. I want my clients to say to me, thank you for giving me a little bit of guidance. I ran with it. I added a couple extra things. I found this awesome stuff. It works great for me. I am feeling like $1 million. Thank you for your contribution. And I will go with a happy heart. Because I will know that I was responsible for planting the seed and then that individual took individual responsibility and control over their health. And I love that. Absolutely love that. So amazing. Hospital. Hospital is triage and stabilization and then hit the eject button as quickly as possible. We spent 4 days in the hospital after my son's accident. I am thankful that I could be in the hospital room with him, that I could advocate for him that I could ask the questions that he didn't know how to ask and was too drugged up to ask, especially post-surgically. Because there were things that when I watched these nurses come in with their little Rolly computers and they come in and they scan the barcode on his wrist tag, they scan the barcodes on the medications, they read the medications off. They go, do you have any questions? And somebody who's out of it is not going to have any questions. Or maybe they don't even know what to ask. And then they're just going to be given a bunch of pills, quick glance from the nurse, and off they go because they got 30 other beds to take care of. I'm not lying to you. I spent 4.5 days in this system with my son, and I watched this happen over and over and over and over again. When his brace that they had ordered got lost by the UPS, I said, who's calling and lighting a fire under whose butt? And where's physical therapy to get his legs moving and his arms moving? Because he can't lay in this bed and do nothing. He has to have circulation. Well, that's why we have the massagey things on his legs. And I said, he doesn't have the massagey things on his legs. Oh, those were supposed to be there yesterday. And I said, no one brought them in. Because they're so busy. They have so many things to take care of and they are so short-staffed. So they desperately work to get you out of there as fast as possible and they don't pay attention because they can't. So you have to advocate for yourself, but if you don't know how to advocate for yourself, you should have an advocate that is not inside the hospital system that can stand up for you and say, why are we doing that? Or why aren't we doing that? Kept bringing in Prilosec, and I said, why are you bringing in Prilosec? Well, he might have heartburn from the medications, but he doesn't have heartburn from the medications. Well, it's preventative. Most people do, and I said, but he doesn't. So don't give it to him, because we don't need to shut down his stomach acid on top of it, because you rank him susceptible to other sicknesses and infections. I don't understand that thinking. I do get that it's the medical industrial complex and they're trying to shovel as many people through it as possible. But therein lies the risk because we are not cars. We are not building automobiles. These are humans with individual experiences and individual needs. It is not healthcare. It is disease management. And I can't even call it disease management. It's sort of like the MASH style disease management. If you've never seen the show MASH, you should watch it. It's MASH-style disease management. These guys come in on a helicopter. We race them into surgery, put them back together again. We throw some antibiotics at them, and we cross our fingers. They handed him magnesium oxide and calcium, both at the same time. And I said, why are you handing him both? Well, this is what the doctor said to do. And they know what they're supposed to do. And I said, well, magnesium oxide doesn't work on muscles, and he has a muscle injury. Magnesium oxide works on the gut. And it's the worst form of magnesium you can give. And if you give it with calcium, they cancel each other out because they're antagonistic. So just those core basics that are known across the board based on, this is basic nutrients that doctors don't know it. Okay. So don't rely on them. Do not trust blindly. You have to ask, you have to question. If you don't know, find someone who does. Health department should be renamed the sanitation department. We just went through the biggest health discussion of my lifetime. I've been on this planet for 5 decades. 2020 was the biggest health discussion we've ever had as a collective population, as a global population. How many times on the news did you hear, get out and get some sunshine, eat your fruits and vegetables, get more rest, get your stress down, make sure you take care of yourself. There is your truest prevention. Did your health department ever tell you that? Does the health department ever show up at a daycare and say, are you feeding the kids carrots and celery? Nope, they show up and make sure you're cleaning with bleach, which affects your heart and shuts down your thyroid. They make sure that what? We have enough sanitation wipes and that we're cleaning up the tables enough times. And that your water is clean. And those are all important things. Don't get me wrong. We should be wiping the tables down, but not with Clorox. There's plenty of other super clean, non-toxic options that do a great job. And yes, we need to clean the water. If we're going to take water out of the sewer and we're going to cleanse it and run it back through drinking water, then we should be cleaning it. But we should be cleaning it a whole lot better than we are now. And I'm not going to get into that. But I'll tell you that if you're drinking tap water straight, or bathing in it, you better get a filtration system. If you don't know what to get, contact me. Okay? Insurance companies are investment companies. I'm thankful for our insurance. I have to tell you. I'm thankful for insurance. Don't get me wrong. But I want you to understand that health insurance companies, all insurance companies are by definition investment companies. They just have a different thing that they sell you, whether it's car insurance or gap insurance or extended warranty insurance or health insurance or liability protection or whatever it is. They take your money, they run it through risk assessment, they run it through actuaries who calculate a whole bunch of risk scenarios. They have bookkeepers and accountants, and then they spit out a number and they say, hey, if you pay me $55 a month, I'm going to give you some life insurance. Now, they cross their fingers that you don't ever collect on that policy. How do they pay for it if you do? They invest your money, and for every dollar you give them, they make 100 back. Do you think about that? For every dollar you give, they get about $100 back on their investments. So is an insurance company actually an insurance company? And here's one of my biggest problems, because when you have a risk assessor and a lawyer making decisions and it's related to your health, they're going to come to you and say, we're not going to cover that. We're not going to cover chiropractic and massage because that doesn't get you to the doctor now, does it? Because they need you in the system. They need to know what's going on with you so they can track your risk assessment. That's why they want you going to the doctor on a regular basis, because then they know if you are a risky person to insure, and they can charge you more money. And instead of 55, they charge you 125. And when they do that, they make 100 times on your $125. They have a very narrow field of view of what is acceptable in terms of treatment. It was really interesting because I'm in Michigan, and a few years back I was working with a chiropractor who got a letter in the mail that said that the state of Michigan had determined that chiropractic care was no longer appropriate for a car accident or a workplace accident. So you have a fall, right? You bump your hip, you're thrown out your lower spine, you have radiating pain, maybe some nerve loss, maybe a pinched nerve, and chiropractic care is not appropriate. Does that make any sense at all? So ask yourself, who was in talking to legislators? What lobby organization was in there saying, hey, psst, if they go to a chiropractor, they're going to get better? Physical Therapy Association? Family Physicians? The AMA, which is, don't get me started on the AMA. They're an evil organization. Evil. So I want you to think about, as you put your eggs in the basket of how you're helping manage your health, who holds the basket? Who are you giving your ownership to? Because there's nothing more important than your health. None of it matters. I can tell you right now that I gave up my career making six figures so that I could get my health back. We had to cut back on our lifestyle. We had to change everything we were doing. I didn't get my hair cut for a year because I didn't want to spend the money because I was outlaying so much money on other things. And along the way, what I realized is I had given over my health wholly and completely to a stranger, to a person in a white coat who didn't care about me. If they got into medicine for good reasons, which many do, many also very quickly get disheartened. They may not tell you that. But these people, you can tell by their behavior, their lack of empathy, their quick in and out, their quick short temper with things. How when you call the button to get your nurse in there, it takes 40 minutes instead of 15. Or five. Because they're stretched thin and they're given way too much to do, and they have all these people, all these lawyers and these actuaries and their risk assessment managers and their hospital administration that are telling them your paperwork is more important than your patient. And if you sat down and had an honest to goodness talk with these folks, they would admit that to you. You might have to give them a few shots of vodka to get it out, but I'm saying to you, in private conversations and in anonymous surveys, these folks have admitted it. Now, ego is one of the biggest problems we've got with this industry. Because they've been fed the belief that they're perfect and amazing and wonderful, incredible, and nothing else works for so many years. They've been programmed to believe that. You've also been programmed to believe that. The truth is, some of what they do works and some of it doesn't. Some of what I do works and some of it doesn't. But in the end, you are an individual who needs an individualized approach to how you regain your health and your vitality and how you maintain it through your life. And it depends on your age and your experiences and your emotions and your stress level and all kinds of things. Where you live in the world makes a difference in your health. What you put in your mouth, on your skin, what you experience from day to day, it all makes a difference in your health. So I'm sorry to say that it is not a magic silver pill in a bottle that's going to get you there. But the most important thing is that you have to believe in your ability to be healthy and vital, and you have to take charge of your health. You have to take charge of your health. And if you don't call me to become one of my clients, then so be it. Find someone that you connect with, that will guide you, that will help you, that will answer your questions. And if they don't know the answers, they'll help you find them. Because even among the traditional naturopath world, there are those that still have the straightforward mindset. Someone comes in with a tummy ache, we give them enzymes and probiotics. Now, what if they don't need enzymes and probiotics? What if their tummy ache is because they've got a very stressful situation at work and they need guidance on how to deal with that stressful situation? Or they need the confidence in themselves to make a job change? Maybe it's deeper than that. We can't ignore the emotional and stress impacts because they manifest physically. In all cases, they manifest physically. It has become my belief that every single physical manifestation has an emotional, energetic root. And there are books written on it. I have multiple books, multiple research studies. There are Ayurvedic texts going back 5,000 years, Chinese medicine texts going back 5,000 years that speak to this specifically. We have research from the researchers from the National Institutes of Health and Johns Hopkins. Freud even said it. Sigmund Freud, who really is probably not a great psychologist as we look, you know, as we figure out where we're at today, might have been good for his time, but not great for today. But he even said it. Emotions lead to physical illness. And he said that 120 years ago. So we can't ignore it. Can't and shouldn't. So, are you going to take charge of your health? There is no time like the present, my friend. Prevention is far easier. Was it Shakespeare? No, I don't remember who it was. It said prevention is worth a pound of cure. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And that is absolutely true. So even if you're not dealing with any specific or problematic symptoms, you might evaluate things and see if there's areas that you can improve in, areas of stress you can lower, downtime you can take, more time out in nature, ground yourself, hydrate better, take more minerals. There's any number of things you could do. Just slight tweaks can make a huge difference. So as always, I hope that you got nuggets from this conversation. These are the things I think about and the things I share with my family. And after being in the conventional medical space for 35 years as a patient and as a non-observer, when I left that world and became an observer of all things, I very clearly and quickly recognized that I could do things better for myself and for my family. And so can you. So wish you an amazing day. Take care. Oh, Juliana, Whole Body Renewal Center. Have an awesome, amazing day. and I wish you many blessings on your journey. I hope you enjoyed this conversation. If you want more, you want consultation, you want self-help, healing, you can find me at wholebodyrenewalcenter.com, Whole Body Renewal on Facebook. I am also on Instagram. I look forward to meeting you and helping you along your journey to full empowerment and healing. Hi, I'm Juliana Sauber, a naturopath and energy healer. I'm really excited to be here to talk with you guys about the connection between emotions and physical illness. So I have a quick question for you. Who has ever been so afraid that you started to shake? Anybody? So nervous that you got a stomach ache? Yeah. How about so angry that your face turned red and you felt this physical need, right? So those are amplifications of the emotional energy that comes up and affects us physically. And there's actually a biochemistry that happens behind that. So those are really large examples of the small things that happen to us every single moment of the day. We have emotions that come up and they affect us and they lead to all kinds of interesting challenges. So, oops, my apologies. We're often held back by these subconscious emotions. These subconscious emotions will drive us to do behaviors, and we don't fully understand it because 90% of our subconscious is not available to us. You can't talk about these things because you aren't actually aware of them. Maybe these are traumas that happened to you when you were a small child. They could be events like you did this drawing in second grade and you just absolutely loved it, but then somebody told you it was ugly. And you thought about it, and then you decided you were not good at art, and you gave up art at second grade. Those kinds of things can happen. We repeat these things over and over again, and by doing that, we program our subconscious mind. Well, these emotions can have all kinds of triggers behind them, and then they can show up as physical illness as we get older. They can show up as pain and any level of dis-ease you can think of. Now, we have this very one-size-fits-all model, right? So we have two choices. We have three, talk therapy, pharmaceuticals, or surgery, which are general pathways of going. But over time, in working with clients and in my own physical healing journey, I found that there are much easier ways to access the subconscious and find these emotions and beliefs and begin to clear them and replace them with more positive or more uplifting beliefs. And then things like you should eat more fruits and vegetables versus donuts. And donuts aren't necessarily a bad thing. We don't want to put negative emotion against everything. But choosing things that are better for us are easier when we haven't got these subconscious emotional traumas driving us to certain behaviors, whether we're talking about any type of addictive behavior can be driven by a subconscious emotion, whether it's eating, smoking, drinking, gambling, shopping, exercising. Lots of things can turn into addictions, right? So this one-size-fits-all model is not really serving us. And in working with lots of my clients, what I found was that until we deal with these subconscious emotions, the thing that we're trying to resolve persists. It doesn't want to go away necessarily. So my own journey is one from a very self-sacrificing person. I established a lifestyle that was based on the expectations of my family and their own emotional needs. To meet them, I set up my life to support them. And what it did was left me with a lot of loneliness and a lot of unhappiness. And as a result, I numbed with food and I did a lot of things and made a lot of decisions that made me unhappy, which perpetuated a lot of physical pain for me. A lot of headaches, a lot of leg pain, shoulder pain. Okay? So I went straight from being, I can't say straight, it was like being on a train on a zigzaggy track, from so in the throes of illness and debilitated where I was almost couch ridden all the time. I would fall asleep at stoplights on my way home from work. I was that physically exhausted and I hurt constantly. So I would come home,
I would usually get my kids home from wherever they were at. I would lay down for an hour. I would get up, and then I had enough energy to prepare dinner. And then I would pretty much fall asleep on the couch in front of the television. So that was the nature of my life, and I wasn't very engaged in it, and I wasn't very happy at that place. Now, I started with food, which is important. I started with supplementation and essential oils and herbs, and I got trained in that and was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And I had a client, I had plateaued on my own health, and I had a client who came to me, and we were working through all of the things that I had been trained to help her restore her health, but she was getting worse. And she came in for her third session, and all she talked about was how worried she was about her son. And he was going down this path, and she was really worried about him, and she didn't know what she was going to do, and she wasn't sleeping, and she cried all day long. And I had this light bulb moment. Her issue was not an illness issue. This was an emotional issue. And I had no tools to be able to help her. I had nothing that I could do to support her needs at that point in time. So it started me on this journey, and I started learning about emotion code and then several other techniques. And I put them together for the ease and flow energy sessions. Now today, that life that I had built around everybody else's expectations, I've now built a life that I absolutely love. I get to do what I love. I get to work with people to help free them from what they've got, you know, that's holding them back, and to build their own life full of fun and energy and excitement and whatever it is that they want. It didn't happen overnight. It took me about 10 years to get here. It took me a lot of learning. Now, I'm pretty stubborn, and so I like to learn things on my own. I didn't hire anybody to help me. I didn't go and find a coach. And the nice thing about that was I created this toolkit. I added it up. It's like 70 techniques that I kind of pulled together for this toolkit. And it allows me the opportunity to really help with a broad range of things that might be happening. It includes things like, I mentioned emotion code. If you've never heard of that, it's fascinating. You might look it up. Sound therapy, so tuning forks, singing bowls, drums. I have my ocean drum with me here today. And then I added Reiki and other energy modalities, and then other spiritual healing as well. So combining all of those things, it's amazing how when we start to remove the emotional energies and the trauma energies, and by the way, they can be yours or they can be inherited. There's lots of things we get from our ancestors, not just how we look, but we also can get their traumas. And that's been scientifically proven. They've seen it in the great-great-grandchildren of Holocaust survivors, where they have triggers that are very similar to their grandparents because of their experience. So it actually writes itself in the DNA. That's part of the genetics. But because it's energetic, we can also unwrite that and begin to restore the DNA back to its blueprint using the energetics. Now, emotions that you might be familiar with, as I connect them with organs, worry in the kidneys. So if you're worried about money, it's gonna be potentially bothering your kidneys. Anger in the liver. Gallbladder is resentment. Lots of people have the gallbladders removed. May or may not be diet related. Could very well be resentment that they're holding on to. The bladder, holding on to things, not letting them go. Digestion, not able to digest what's happened to you. That's very common. So we have lots of digestive challenges. And then for me, I found, because most of my challenges were muscular, disgust. I was so disgusted with the life that I had created, with my own self, with my self body image, all of those things, that I just beat myself up over years, and it just settled right into my muscles and became physical pain. And then disappointment in the spleen. So whether it's disappointment in yourself or someone else. Now the spleen itself processes nutrients, makes white blood cells. It's very important to how our bodies work, and we don't pay attention to the spleen. So there's a simple muscle test I do to see how your spleen's doing energetically. Maybe you have a family member who is particularly challenging. I have experienced things where a person had had a shoulder challenge for many years. We found out that her brother had been very challenging for her. We did some disconnection, some cord cutting, some other energetic work, and did the repair, and her shoulder was significantly better. Not everyone has that experience. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer to unravel the components of what is settled into a space. But once we do that, then the interventions we do with the physical body are much faster and easier. So once we remove things, say from the gallbladder, then the gallbladder can calm down and you digest your food better. And then it's easier. We can do maybe a couple of supplements, a minor food change, and your gallbladder will be happier. There is something called an ancestral miasm. So this came from homeopathic studies going back to Hahnemann almost 300 years ago. And in the homeopathic studies, they identified that if you have an ancestor who had an illness that wasn't handled very well, let's say the bacterial infection wasn't handled well, it can actually change the genetics through what we call epigenetics. That's a newer science. Epigenetics is the trigger mechanism for changing genetics. So it changes that, it carries through the genetics. But again, because we're working with energy, we're working in the quantum realm, we can start to modify those things and start to unravel those so that the thing that shows up in you physically but doesn't show up in your blood test because it's energetic, then we can start to work through those challenges. Okay? Now, I found in my own journey I wanted to move a lot faster. And we have a lot of amazing energy techniques, but sometimes they don't move quite fast enough. So then that's part of the reason why I put together a big toolkit, because then I can pull from a lot of different spaces and begin to move things quicker. Because I don't know if you guys have noticed, we're at mid-August in 2021. I thought it was January 1, not a minute ago. Like, it seems like time is speeding up. So as we're moving from third dimension to fifth dimension, if you're working on that ascension journey, we really have to leave a lot of this behind. We can't carry this with us as we move into a new level of consciousness. So it's a really good time to begin to do that ancestral work and leave that baggage behind you so that you're moving forward and you feel a lot lighter. A lot of people are stressed out and oftentimes they don't know why. I drove myself almost to complete exhaustion, because I was fulfilling some unknown need to satisfy somebody or something. I don't know what it was, but I pushed myself beyond the length of my physical body's capability, and it almost disabled me. In fact, once I quit my career, it took me 6 months to get to the point where I could do most of a day. But prior to that, I spent a lot of time in the chair staring at the television. I could not tell you what was on TV because daytime television is not good. But I saw a lot of it staring at the screen because I was so physically exhausted, but I was driven by something I didn't understand. I now know that that was an ancestral drive. It was not mine. It took me a while to unravel that. So in this process, the first step is personal responsibility. I take responsibility for what we've experienced, choices we've made, and we have to take responsibility for taking the steps forward. To know where we've been, to know where we're at, and especially to know where we're going. Now, I can tell you when I was in the midst of my illness, I couldn't get past that hour. I was living hour to hour, and I've seen people in that situation, and it is not a fun place to be. Some people can't see past today or this week because they've got so much going on, whether it's stress or emotional trauma or illness or all of the above. So as we start to remove those big components where we can come to center and we can be calmer, then we have this opportunity to really start to think about what is it I want in my life? Where do I want to go forward? How do I want to express myself as things go on? So I've compiled a lot of tools. I've put together energetic, spiritual tools to help clear these energies. It is a transmutation and an infusion are the two words I like to use, because what is expressed as anything less than love, if you've ever seen the power versus force chart, love is at 500 hertz. Shame and guilt are at 20 and 30. So it tells you they're very low vibration frequencies. So as we can transmute those into love, a much higher frequency, with the infusion of love, then you vibrate at a higher frequency and you feel better and you have more energy and you can navigate the day in a happier space. So there are a lot of different techniques to do that. Sound is one of my favorite. I also work with quantum frequency healing. So I work with a device, this is it, pocket size, portable, amazing, 144,000 frequencies in that database. And incredible for designing programs for you to help support you in feeling well. We can clear these lingering emotions. You know, I mentioned anger. Anger sometimes takes years to build up into such a momentum. fear. I was driven by a lot of fear. I was afraid to disappoint people. So I had layers and layers and layers of fear to clear. And part of what I do when I work with people, because I want people to be empowered. I want you to like take ownership of your health and your life and have a lot of say in your self-care. So I love to teach people the tools to be able to do that, because you may have a session with a healer and you may not have another session, say, for a month. And in that middle of that month, you have something come up. How do you deal with that? What tools do you have in your toolbox? What daily practices can you do to change and transmute this for yourself? So it's not person dependent. Like I said, it's personal responsibility, because once you learn these tools, then you're empowered, you're strengthened. You can start to do this for yourself. You can bring in sound therapy on an everyday basis. You can, I'll teach you a lot of stress reduction techniques so that you can manage and deal with and begin to eliminate the sources of stress. Because that's a big thing. Relationships are a huge source of stress for people, whether they may not realize it or not. So it can be difficult sometimes to change those relationships. Or maybe you need to take some of the relationships out and bring in some new relationships. How do you do that? How do you navigate that? What does that look like for you? So there are lots of things to consider as you're looking forward to what is the next month look like, the next 3 months, the next 6 months. But what I'd like to do is, if someone is open to it, I'd love to demonstrate just one element of the ease and flow energy process, if anybody's willing to step up and volunteer. Anybody? Come on up. All right. So I'm going to have you stand right over here, because if I get too close to the speakers, I'll get feedback. So you're fine. So you guys are probably familiar with the aura, right? What's your name?
Katie.
Nice to meet you, Katie. You guys are familiar with the aura, right? So I call it the blend of the good witch bubble.
Okay.
Right? So that's a good visual for people, because that is your energy field. That's for you to control. You can't control anything outside of that, really. But what you can do is you can clear the static that's in your energy field. So traumas and emotions come up in the energy field as static. That's how I see them, how I sense them. The tuning forks also sense that static. And when we identify something, so if I identify something like you've got, do you mind if I muscle test you? Okay, so father's side, anger comes up, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 generations back, okay? So I would identify that. As soon as that emotion is identified, it comes out into her energy field, okay? The tuning forks can pick up on that. So what I would do then is I'm going to ring the tuning fork. Now, I do it on a hockey puck because otherwise it's really loud, which is fine. Because when I'm in session, I want people calm. I don't want you, like, startled by the noise of a tuning fork. I used to do it on a crystal. Can you imagine? You jump off the table. That's not great. So the hockey puck's good, and it's appropriate for where we're at, right? So we ring the tuning fork, and as I come in, I pick up frequency here. How old are you?
35.
Okay, so this is roughly age, I'm going to call it 21, 22. So there's a trauma that comes up about that time for you, maybe an event. Maybe it was an accumulation of things that created or brought some anger up. And that cleared pretty easily for you. So the other thing that I might do is, if somebody says to me, or if I sense that they're very stressed, I get a lot of people who are up here. And I can tell you, most people don't know if they're as stressed as they really are. Because we live in stress. It's our way of operating, right? So they might say to me, you know, I crave sugar all the time. I don't sleep very well. I wake up 4 or 5 times a night and I'm constantly go, 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 go. So I'll hear, oh, that's stress. So with the tuning fork, I can measure adrenal energy. So the adrenals are here on the back, just about the waistline. And I'll sometimes ask, do you have mid-back pain? And they'll say, oh yeah, that hurts sometimes. Or, you know, if I don't drink enough water, that can get discomfort. So then I'll take the tuning fork and I'll come in and I'll measure adrenal energy. Now I'm getting adrenal energy for her all the way out here. That's quite a ways out. So the differentiation between left and right side of the body is also masculine and feminine. Okay, so it can represent people in your life that are challenging or situations in your life that are challenging. That can be the source of your stress. It can also, like I said, be ancestral. So it may be coming up from someone else in your life that you're not even aware of. So this comes up as someone who's in your life currently, okay, who is creating some stress for you. Now, when we have these traumas, these energies are, I asked her how old she was, because this is a measure. So this is close, this is recent, about 5.5 feet out is at your conception point, and beyond that is ancestral. Now, in my room, I can't get that far out, right? In this space, I could go infinitely back. So I'll be able to kind of measure approximately when an event happened. I have picked up on things. I have clients come in, don't tell me anything. I picked up on a guy like had serious divorce, and then, you know, like all this stuff was in his energy field really recently. So that comes up as that static. Now it's left as a piece of your energy out of that chakra. So in this case, if I were looking at, say, heart chakra, it could be a piece of static that's out here from that age frame. And it's part of the battery of that chakra. So a happy, healthy heart chakra needs all of its energy, right? It needs nice, clean energy. So I'll pick it up, and with the tuning forks, it'll carry it back into the chakra. So we're restoring the batteries of the chakras. We're bringing that energy back into the place where it belongs to. In shamanic practice, they call this, they kind of call this soul retrieval, but I do it, it's done a little differently. It's done with sound instead. And then as we have traumas throughout life, we actually will build up what's called a heart wall. So I learned about heart walls in emotion code. And people stack emotion. It's like a, you know, I'm afraid of this person, so I need to build this wall around myself. And they close themselves in energetically. But when we get all of our energy back in our chakras, and then we learn how to project it outward into our good witch bubble, our Glenda bubble, right? We have this protective field. We stay happy and healthy and, you know, skipping around. And all those people that cause trauma for us are outside the bubble. When we do it right, they're not allowed to come in unless you let them in. Okay, so we allow you to create your own protective field, which is great. If you're an empath, which I am, your energy can be controlled by the people around you, right? You're in this room, and all of a sudden, this angry person walks in, and you're like, you know, you get a sense for them. I didn't know that. I didn't hide as an empath. I fed off other people's energy, and I would become manic. I'd become this crazy, like, I loved concerts, and I was this crazy person for like 2 days after a concert. Didn't know what that meant. I was sucking in all that energy and all that excitement, right? So I did as much people stuff as I could. Now I'm like, people stuff, quiet stuff. People stuff, quiet stuff. Because I gotta balance that, right? Okay? So this is still stress energy. So pulling in the tuning forks is just one piece of the pie when it comes to stress reduction. The tuning forks pick up all kinds of interference energy. So sacral chakra, there's some interference here. So I stay there until I feel the resistance leave. Now, if you guys are familiar with the chakras, the sacral chakra is our emotional chakra. It's also where we create from. So it's hard to create your future life when you have emotional interference from your past and your current life, okay? I also, because of a study of quantum physics, know that all lifetimes in our information field are current, which means they're all accessible, which means they all have influence on us, right? So we can pick up on sessions. Sometimes we'll have concurrent lifetime things come up. Like, oh, that's happening in 7 lifetimes. That's why it's so strong for you. So then we ask the angels, the archangels, the ascended masters, your guides, whoever's available to come and clear that energy. Because in the end, I don't do any of it. They do all of it. You do most of it, right? The healing comes from inside. It really does. I'm a facilitator. You know, I might give you an awareness or a perception that you're not familiar with, something, a different way to look at something.
A reminder.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you draw that in and you begin the healing. It's like flicking a snowball down the hill, right? That healing gets better and better and better. And then you're like, oh man, I had this really good week and I slept good. And, you know, all these great things happen. My digestion's doing really good because there is that connection, that stress, that emotion, everything else settles into the physical body. Symptoms are your body's way of saying, pay attention to me. I have a need. I have something going on I want you to do something about. The what do you do about it is the thing you need. You need the toolkit, right? So I teach it. I teach it in session. I actually have developed a class that I'm getting ready to put online because I want people to have this available to them. I want you to be able to, like, I can do most of it. Sometimes I need a little help, a resource, a guide, someone who can see the perspective that I don't see, okay? And I'm really stressed, and I don't know how to calm myself down, so can I come and get a stress relief session? Absolutely. You know, I do distance healing. I think a lot of people here, a lot of the healers, the facilitators here do distance healing as well. Because we live in this amazing quantum universe, right? We're all interconnected, and we all have this opportunity to heal each other, right? And be a support network for each other. So thank you. I appreciate your support.
Thanks.
Yep. Hi, I'm Juliana Sauber, naturopath and energy healer. I'm really excited to be here to talk with you guys about the connection between emotions and physical illness. So I have a quick question for you. Who has ever been so afraid that you started to shake? Anybody? So nervous that you got a stomach ache? Yeah. How about so angry that your face turned red? And you felt this physical need, right? So those are amplifications of the emotional energy that comes up and affects us physically. And there's actually a biochemistry that happens behind that. So those are really large examples of the small things that happen to us every single moment of the day. We have emotions that come up and they affect us and they lead to all kinds of interesting challenges. So, oops, my apologies. We're often held back by these subconscious emotions. These subconscious emotions will drive us to do behaviors, and we don't fully understand it because 90% of our subconscious is not available to us. You can't talk about these things because you aren't actually aware of them. Maybe these are traumas that happened to you when you were a small child. They could be events like you did this drawing in second grade and you just absolutely loved it, but then somebody told you it was ugly, and you thought about it, and then you decided you were not good at art, and you gave up art at second grade. Those kinds of things can happen. We repeat these things over and over again, and by doing that, we program our subconscious mind. Well, these emotions can have all kinds of triggers behind them, and then they can show up as physical illness as we get older. They can show up as pain and any level of dis-ease you can think of. Now, we have this very one-size-fits-all model, right? So we have two choices. We have three: talk therapy, pharmaceuticals, or surgery, which are general pathways of going. But over time, in working with clients and in my own physical healing journey, I found that there are much easier ways to access the subconscious and find these emotions and beliefs and begin to clear them and replace them with more positive or more uplifting beliefs. And then things like, you should eat more fruits and vegetables versus donuts. And donuts aren't necessarily a bad thing. We don't want to put negative emotion against everything. But choosing things that are better for us are easier when we haven't got these subconscious emotional traumas driving us to certain behaviors, whether we're talking about any type of addictive behavior can be driven by a subconscious emotion, whether it's eating, smoking, drinking, gambling, shopping, exercising. Lots of things can turn into addictions, right? So this one-size-fits-all model is not really serving us. And in working with lots of my clients, what I found was that until we deal with these subconscious emotions, the thing that we're trying to resolve persists. It doesn't want to go away necessarily. So my own journey is one from a very self-sacrificing person. I established a lifestyle that was based on the expectations of my family and their own emotional needs. To meet them, I set up my life to support them. And what it did was left me with a lot of loneliness and a lot of unhappiness. And as a result, I numbed with food and I did a lot of things and made a lot of decisions that made me unhappy, which perpetuated a lot of physical pain for me. A lot of headaches, a lot of leg pain, shoulder pain, okay? So I went straight from being, I can't say straight, it was like being on a train on a zigzaggy track, from so in the throes of illness and debilitated, where I was almost couch ridden all the time. I would fall asleep at stoplights on my way home from work. I was that physically exhausted, and I hurt constantly. So I would come home. I would usually get my kids home from wherever they were at. I would lay down for an hour. I would get up, and then I had enough energy to prepare dinner. And then I would pretty much fall asleep on the couch in front of the television. So that was the nature of my life, and I wasn't very engaged in it, and I wasn't very happy at that place. Now, I started with food, which is important. I started with supplementation and essential oils and herbs, and I got trained in that and was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And I had a client, I had plateaued on my own health, and I had a client who came to me, and we were working through all of the things that I had been trained to help her restore her health, but she was getting worse. And she came in for her third session, and all she talked about was how worried she was about her son. And he was going down this path, and she was really worried about him, and she didn't know what she was going to do, and she wasn't sleeping, and she cried all day long. And I had this light bulb moment. Her issue was not an illness issue. This was an emotional issue. And I had no tools to be able to help her. I had nothing that I could do to support her needs at that point in time. So it started me on this journey, and I started learning about emotion code and then several other techniques. And I put them together for the ease and flow energy sessions. Now today, that life that I had built around everybody else's expectations, I've now built a life that I absolutely love. I get to do what I love. I get to work with people to help free them from what they've got, you know, that's holding them back, and to build their own life full of fun and energy and excitement and whatever it is that they want. It didn't happen overnight. It took me about 10 years to get here. It took me a lot of learning. Now, I'm pretty stubborn, and so I like to learn things on my own. I didn't hire anybody to help me. I didn't go and find a coach. And the nice thing about that was I created this toolkit. I added it up. It's like 70 techniques that I kind of pulled together for this toolkit. And it allows me the opportunity to really help with a broad range of things that might be happening. It includes things like, I mentioned emotion code. If you've never heard of that, it's fascinating. You might look it up. Sound therapy, so tuning forks, singing bowls, drums. I have my ocean drum with me here today. And then I added Reiki and other energy modalities, and then other spiritual healing as well. So combining all of those things, it's amazing how when we start to remove the emotional energies and the trauma energies, and by the way, they can be yours or they can be inherited. There's lots of things we get from our ancestors, not just how we look, but we also can get their traumas. And that's been scientifically proven. They've seen it in the great-great-grandchildren of Holocaust survivors, where they have triggers that are very similar to their grandparents because of their experience. So it actually writes itself in the DNA. That's part of the genetics. But because it's energetic, we can also unwrite that and begin to restore the DNA back to its blueprint using the energetics. Now, emotions that you might be familiar with, as I connect them with organs, worry in the kidneys. So if you're worried about money, it's gonna be potentially bothering your kidneys. Anger in the liver. Gallbladder is resentment. Lots of people have the gallbladders removed. May or may not be diet related. Could very well be resentment that they're holding on to. The bladder, holding on to things, not letting them go. Digestion, not able to digest what's happened to you. That's very common. So we have lots of digestive challenges. And then for me, I found, because most of my challenges were muscular, disgust. I was so disgusted with the life that I had created, with my own self, with my self body image, all of those things, that I just beat myself up over years, and it just settled right into my muscles and became physical pain. And then disappointment in the spleen. So whether it's disappointment in yourself or someone else. Now the spleen itself processes nutrients, makes white blood cells. It's very important to how our bodies work, and we don't pay attention to the spleen. So there's a simple muscle test I do to see how your spleen's doing energetically. Maybe you have a family member who is particularly challenging. I have experienced things where a person had a shoulder challenge for many years, We found out that her brother had been very challenging for her. We did some disconnection, some cord cutting, some other energetic work, and did the repair, and her shoulder was significantly better. Not everyone has that experience. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer to unravel the components of what is settled into a space. But once we do that, then the interventions we do with the physical body are much faster and easier. So once we remove things, say from the gallbladder, then the gallbladder can calm down and you digest your food better. And then it's easier, we can do maybe a couple of supplements, a minor food change, and your gallbladder will be happier. There is something called an ancestral miasm. So this came from homeopathic studies, going back to Hahnemann almost 300 years ago. And in the homeopathic studies, they identified that if you have an ancestor who had an illness that wasn't handled very well, let's say the bacterial infection wasn't handled well, it can actually change the genetics through what we call epigenetics. That's a newer science. Epigenetics is the trigger mechanism for changing genetics. So it changes that, it carries through the genetics. But again, because we're working with energy, we're working in the quantum realm, we can start to modify those things and start to unravel those so that the thing that shows up in you physically but doesn't show up in your blood test because it's energetic, then we can start to work through those challenges. Okay? Now, I found in my own journey I wanted to move a lot faster. And we have a lot of amazing energy techniques, but sometimes they don't move quite fast enough. So then that's part of the reason why I put together a big toolkit, because then I can pull from a lot of different spaces and begin to move things quicker. Because I don't know if you guys have noticed, we're at mid-August in 2021. I thought it was January 1, not a minute ago. Like, it seems like time is speeding up. So as we're moving from third dimension to fifth dimension, if you're working on that ascension journey, we really have to leave a lot of this behind. We can't carry this with us as we move into a new level of consciousness. So it's a really good time to begin to do that ancestral work and leave that baggage behind you so that you're moving forward and you feel a lot lighter. A lot of people are stressed out, and oftentimes they don't know why. I drove myself almost to complete exhaustion because I was fulfilling some unknown need to satisfy somebody or something. I don't know what it was, but I pushed myself beyond the length of my physical body's capability, and it almost disabled me. In fact, once I quit my career, it took me 6 months to get to the point where I could do most of a day. But prior to that, I spent a lot of time in the chair staring at the television. I could not tell you what was on TV because daytime television is not good. But I saw a lot of it staring at the screen because I was so physically exhausted, but I was driven by something I didn't understand. I now know that that was an ancestral drive. It was not mine. It took me a while to unravel that. So in this process, the first step is personal responsibility. I take responsibility for what we've experienced, choices we've made, and we have to take responsibility for taking the steps forward. To know where we've been, to know where we're at, and especially to know where we're going. Now, I can tell you when I was in the midst of my illness, I couldn't get past that hour. I was living hour to hour, and I've seen people in that situation, and it is not a fun place to be. Some people can't see past today or this week because they've got so much going on, whether it's stress or emotional trauma or illness or all of the above. So as we start to remove those big components where we can come to center and we can be calmer, then we have this opportunity to really start to think about what is that I want in my life? Where do I want to go forward? How do I want to express myself as things go on? So I've compiled a lot of tools. I've put together energetic, spiritual tools to help clear these energies. It is a transmutation and an infusion are the two words I like to use, because what is expressed as anything less than love, if you've ever seen the power versus force chart, love is at 500 hertz. Shame and guilt are at 20 and 30. So it tells you they're very low vibration frequencies. So as we can transmute those into love, a much higher frequency, with the infusion of love, then you vibrate at a higher frequency and you feel better and you have more energy and you can navigate the day in a happier space. So there are a lot of different techniques to do that. Sound is one of my favorite. I also work with quantum frequency healing. So I work with a device, this is it, pocket size, portable, amazing, 144,000 frequencies in that database. And incredible for designing programs for you to help support you in feeling well. We can clear these lingering emotions. You know, I mentioned anger. Anger sometimes takes years to build up into such a momentum. Fear, I was driven by a lot of fear. I was afraid to disappoint people. So I had layers and layers and layers of fear to clear. And part of what I do when I work with people, because I want people to be empowered. I want you to like take ownership of your health and your life and have a lot of say in your self-care. So I love to teach people the tools to be able to do that, because you may have a session with a healer and you may not have another session, say, for a month. And in that middle of that month, you have something come up. How do you deal with that? What tools do you have in your toolbox? What daily practices can you do to change and transmute this for yourself? So it's not person dependent. Like I said, it's personal responsibility, because once you learn these tools, then you're empowered, you're strengthened. You can start to do this for yourself. You can bring in sound therapy on an everyday basis. I'll teach you a lot of stress reduction techniques so that you can manage and deal with and begin to eliminate the sources of stress. Because that's a big thing. Relationships are a huge source of stress for people, whether they may not realize it or not. So it can be difficult sometimes to change those relationships. Or maybe you need to take some of the relationships out and bring in some new relationships. How do you do that? How do you navigate that? What does that look like for you? So there are lots of things to consider as you're looking forward to what does the next month look like, the next 3 months, the next 6 months. But what I'd like to do is, if someone is open to it, I'd love to demonstrate just one element of the ease and flow energy process. If anybody's willing to step up and volunteer, anybody? Come on up. All right. So I'm going to have you stand right over here, because if I get too close to the speakers, I'll get feedback. So you're fine. So you guys are probably familiar with the aura, right? What's your name?
Katie.
Nice to meet you, Katie. You guys are familiar with the aura, right? So I call it the Glenda the Good Witch bubble.
Okay.
Right? So that's a good visual for people, because that is your energy field. That's for you to control. You can't control anything outside of that, really. But what you can do is you can clear the static that's in your energy field. So traumas and emotions come up in the energy field as static. That's how I see them, how I sense them. The tuning forks also sense that static. And when we identify something, so if I identify something like you've got, do you mind if I muscle test you? Okay, so father's side, anger comes up, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 generations back, okay? So I would identify that. As soon as that emotion is identified, it comes out into her energy field, okay? The tuning forks can pick up on that. So what I would do then is I'm going to ring the tuning fork. Now, I do it on a hockey puck because otherwise it's really loud, which is fine. Because when I'm in session, I want people calm. I don't want you, like, startled by the noise of a tuning fork. I used to do it on a crystal. Can you imagine? You jump off the table. That's not great. So the hockey puck's good, and it's appropriate for where we're at, right? So we ring the tuning fork, and as I come in, I pick up frequency here. How old are you?
35.
Okay, so this is roughly age, I'm going to call it 21, 22. So there's a trauma that comes up about that time for you, maybe an event. Maybe it was an accumulation of things that created or brought some anger up. And that cleared pretty easily for you. So the other thing that I might do is, if somebody says to me, or if I sense that they're very stressed, I get a lot of people who are up here. And I can tell you, most people don't know if they're as stressed as they really are. Because we live in stress. It's our way of operating, right? So they might say to me, you know, I crave sugar all the time. I don't sleep very well. I wake up 4 or 5 times a night and I'm constantly go, 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 go. So I'll hear, oh, that's stress. So with the tuning fork, I can measure adrenal energy. So the adrenals are here on the back, just about the waistline. And I'll sometimes ask, do you have mid-back pain? And they'll say, oh yeah, that hurts sometimes. Or, you know, if I don't drink enough water, that can get discomfort. So then I'll take the tuning fork and I'll come in and I'll measure adrenal energy. Now I'm getting adrenal energy for her all the way out here. That's quite a ways out. So the differentiation between left and right side of the body is also masculine and feminine. Okay, so it can represent people in your life that are challenging or situations in your life that are challenging. That can be the source of your stress. It can also, like I said, be ancestral. So it may be coming up from someone else in your life that you're not even aware of. So this comes up as someone who's in your life currently, okay, who is creating some stress for you. Now, when we have these traumas, these energies are, I asked her how old she was, because this is a measure. So this is close, this is recent. About 5.5 feet out is at your conception point, and beyond that is ancestral. Now, in my room, I can't get that far out, right? In this space, I could go infinitely back. So I'll be able to kind of measure approximately when an event happened. I have picked up on things. I have clients come in, don't tell me anything. I picked up on a guy like had serious divorce, and then, you know, like all this stuff was in his energy field really recently. So that comes up as that static. Now it's left as a piece of your energy out of that chakra. So in this case, if I were looking at, say, heart chakra, it could be a piece of static that's out here from that age frame, and it's part of the battery of that chakra. So a happy, healthy heart chakra needs all of its energy, right? It needs nice, clean energy. So I'll pick it up, and with the tuning forks, it'll carry it back into the chakra. So we're restoring the batteries of the chakras. We're bringing that energy back into the place where it belongs to. In shamanic practice, they call this, they kind of call this soul retrieval, but it's done a little differently. It's done with sound instead. And then as we have traumas throughout life, we actually will build up what's called a heart wall. So I learned about heart walls in emotion code, and people stack emotion. It's like a, you know, I'm afraid of this person, so I need to build this wall around myself. And they close themselves in energetically. But when we get all of our energy back in our chakras, and then we learn how to project it outward into our good witch bubble, our Glenda bubble, right? We have this protective field. We stay happy and healthy and, you know, skipping around. And all those people that cause trauma for us are outside the bubble. When we do it right, they're not allowed to come in unless you let them in. Okay, so we allow you to create your own protective field, which is great. If you're an empath, which I am, your energy can be controlled by the people around you, right? You're in this room, and all of a sudden, this angry person walks in, and you're like, you know, you get a sense for them. I didn't know that. I didn't hide as an empath. I fed off other people's energy, and I would become manic. I'd become this crazy, like, I loved concerts, and I was this crazy person for like 2 days after a concert. Didn't know what that meant. I was sucking in all that energy and all that excitement, right? So I did as much people stuff as I could. Now I'm like, people stuff, quiet stuff. People stuff, quiet stuff. Because I gotta balance that, right? Okay? So this is still stress energy. So pulling in the tuning forks is just one piece of the pie when it comes to stress reduction. The tuning forks pick up all kinds of interference energy. So sacral chakra, there's some interference here. So I stay there until I feel the resistance leave. Now, if you guys are familiar with the chakras, the sacral chakra is our emotional chakra. It's also where we create from. So it's hard to create your future life when you have emotional interference from your past and your current life. Okay. I also, because of a study of quantum physics, know that all lifetimes in our information field are current, which means they're all accessible, which means they all have influence on us. Right? So we can pick up on sessions. Sometimes we'll have concurrent lifetime things come up. Like, oh, that's happening in 7 lifetimes. That's why it's so strong for you. So then we ask the angels, the archangels, the ascended masters, your guides, whoever's available to come and clear that energy. Because in the end, I don't do any of it. They do all of it. You do most of it, right? The healing comes from inside. It really does. I'm a facilitator. you know, I might give you an awareness or a perception that you're not familiar with, something, a different way to look at something.
A reminder.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you draw that in and you begin the healing. It's like flicking a snowball down the hill, right? That healing gets better and better and better. And then you're like, oh man, I had this really good week and I slept good. And, you know, all these great things happen. My digestion's doing really good. Because there is that connection, that stress, that emotion, everything else settles into the physical body. Symptoms are your body's way of saying, pay attention to me. I have a need. I have something going on I want you to do something about. The what do you do about it is the thing you need. You need the toolkit, right? So I teach it. I teach it in session. I actually have developed a class that I'm getting ready to put online because I want people to have this available to them. I want you to be able to, like, I can do most of it. Sometimes I need a little help, a resource, a guide, someone who can see the perspective that I don't see, okay? And I'm really stressed, and I don't know how to calm myself down, so can I come and get a stress relief session? Absolutely. You know, I do distance healing. I think a lot of people here, a lot of the healers, the facilitators here do distance healing as well, because we live in this amazing quantum universe, right? We're all interconnected, and we all have this opportunity to heal each other, right? And be a support network for each other. So thank you. I appreciate your support. Thanks. Yep.
I hope you enjoyed this conversation. If you want more, you want consultation, you want self-help healing, you can find me at wholebodyrenewalcenter.com, Whole Body Renewal on Facebook. I am also on Instagram. I look forward to meeting you and helping you along your journey to full empowerment and healing. I hope you enjoyed this conversation. If you want more, you want consultation, you want self-help healing, you can find me at wholebodyrenewalcenter.com, Whole Body Renewal on Facebook. I am also on Instagram. I look forward to meeting you and helping you along your journey to full empowerment and healing.